Amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that we come together and worship and just kick off 2026 for the Sunday morning, and just look forward to what you're going to do in the future, how you're going to touch and protect each one of us. And God, we just call out to you and we submit to your authority and are excited about to see what you do. And so, Lord, we give honor and glory to you. And so we pray an anointing on this year for each person. And, Lord, I pray you start off and just touch us in this service and just fill me with your spirit. I just speak things to the spirit and open each heart to receive in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Happy New Year. Are any of you having a real problem with it being 2026? I am, you know. It's like, that's just kind of amazing. It's just kind of amazing. But we're excited about what the Lord's going to do. This is what the Lord's going to do. Well, this morning, we're going to get back, so, you know, past the holidays and what have you, and so we're going to get back into James, okay? We'll finish going through the book of James. So we're going to pick up with James, and we'll finish it over the next few weeks. And as you can see, the title says, Ask Correctly. So that'd be a good 2026 message, Ask Correctly. So to start off, we're going to look at James and chapter 4, verse 2, and last part of 2 and verse 3. But it says this, You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. And you'll see I put in parentheses hedonism in there. That's what the word means. Now, when we look at the scriptures, and we all know as we read the scriptures, the importance of prayer. I mean, it's just something that we should do. It's something I don't do enough of. I'm convicted about that. I need to pray more. I need to pray more for each one of you. And the Bible is just cram-packed reminders to pray and that how God responds to our prayer. You know, he uses words like be devoted to prayer. You know, it's just really so important. So we know it's important. You know, we just need to do it. It really isn't. To do it. And Jesus and James both speak of the absolute truth and the power of prayer. So it's just, so the subject, the truth of prayer and the power of prayer, it's not new. In fact, Jesus says, I mean, the whole service could be filled up with what Jesus said about prayer. But Jesus said in John 14:14, says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I mean, there it is. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. And so there's such a strong truth in that. Hey, you come before me, you devote yourself to prayer. Ask me anything, and I'll do it. And so we're challenged. Amen? We're challenged. But here in James, we see something very interesting, okay? In James completely substantiates what Jesus said, repeats it, if you will. But James here shows us what hinders our prayers. So, okay, here's the absolute, and we're there, and you go, well, God, why? And you have all sorts of questions you lift up, and well, James is going to tell us some right here. He is going to give us some information on what hinders our prayers, which hinders God from answering our prayers, all right? So when we look at it, we know, of course, just logically, okay, we know that God would evaluate our prayers, right? I mean, we just would know that. We pray, okay, got it. You know, it's like, wait a minute. You know, he's going to evaluate. He's going to evaluate our prayers. What we ask him, we would just, you know, understand that. You know, once Jesus told John and James, And he said, they asked him something, and he goes, "You don't know what you're asking." That's what Jesus said. He said, "You don't know what you're asking." And I know with my prayers, I'm thinking, "Oh, Lord Jesus." And he's going, "You don't know what you're asking." I can't answer that. You don't know what you're asking. You know. So we know that God would evaluate our prayers. Now, also, when we see in this section, of James, that all through from James chapters 1 through 3, the first three chapters, Jesus has taught us that our behavior, including our prayer life, should be based on the royal law of love. Y'all remember all those messages we talked about? I mean, he really hit that hard. He says the royal law of love is to love one another. So the whole focus right here. Now, so he's telling us that we have that in our mind on James chapter 4, that he's saying it's this royal law of love. You need to be walking in that. And now he flows right in to talk to us on prayer. So, royal law of love. Unfortunately, sometimes our attitudes are less than godly. Maybe. I have to confess, when I was doing this message, I'll tell you what I first thought, put here, and I thought, well, you need to soften that up a little bit. And I said, unfortunately, sometimes our attitudes stink. I thought, well, that doesn't sound good. So I said, less than godly, that's better. You know, so, but anyway, I just want you to let my first thought that sometimes our attitudes stink. So, but sometimes our attitudes are less than godly, right? It is. Well, therefore James says, because our attitudes are less than godly, he says, look at James 4:1. Therefore James says, chapter 4, verse 1, what causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your own passions, hedonisms, are at war within you? Why are our attitudes less than godly? Or why do they just stink? Right? And he telling us right here, he says, all these fights and quarrels, it's your passions are at war within you. Something's happening within you that hinders me from answering your prayer. So, what we know from this, Jesus is making it clear. And again, who's he talking to? Okay, not your next door neighbor, not, you know, X, Y, Z. He's talking to his church. He's talking to believers. Okay, so he's talking to believers. You know, he goes right to his church. See, Jesus is not pleased when believers live in an atmosphere of fights and quarrels. Now, parodies and stuff, Christian parodies and secular comedies and stuff have churches fighting and quarreling because it's really humorous. I mean, it's so drastic on one end, you know, but it makes for a lot of comedy. You know, it's called, you know, bless you, brother, you know, and then it's turned around and it's like, no, don't bless him. You know, it's one of those things. So God sees through that. Or so you see this interaction and these frictions, and he goes, well, and especially in the church. Because when we're in the church and we're about in issues, this person's right and this person's right. Right? Before Jesus, I'm right. Which makes me right, and before Jesus, you're wrong. And I am God's tool to prove you're wrong. See? And God goes, no, that's your passions warring in you. I'm not any part of that. So that's what he's saying. Like I said, Jesus is not pleased when believers live in that atmosphere of fights and quarrels. God identifies these conflicts is our passions at war. And I think this is where we need to, you know, really pay attention, you know, when God, this words God uses, you know. Well, I was upset. Well, I was dishonored. Well, they deserved it. Or, you know, whatever, whatever. You know, and God goes, no, no, this is your passions at war within you. He goes back to you, said, no, you're in it. And it's a war of your passions within your heart. It's like, oh my goodness. Now the term here for passions, and again, we got to pay attention to what God says. The term for passions, the NIV says desires. It says desires. That's what it uses. And the term means literally selfish pleasures. Selfish pleasures, okay? That's what's warring within us, is our own selfish pleasures, what we want, what pleases us. And the Greek word is the source of the English word hedonism. So if you look up, where do we get hedonism? It's from the Greek word that's used right here. So he's talking about hedonism. And hedonism is the designation of the philosophy that views pleasure as the chief goal of life. I want to be happy. And you're making me unhappy. You know, and your goal in life is to make me happy. That's hedonism. It's hedonism. And what it is a hedonism that's at war within me. You see? And so that's where he's coming at. So, and again, what is he dealing with? He's dealing with prayer. He's focusing on prayer. This is what he's praying. And he's saying, God is looking down and he knows exactly what's going on. God knows exactly what's going on. And he is going to, you know, teach us this in our life. When selfish passions dominate, the peace of God is destroyed. Okay? So now, how do you know it's hedonism? There's disorder. The peace is destroyed right there. So you just know that. Now, you may not know why, but it's destroyed. See, the peace of God is destroyed when there's these conflicts and these quarrels. Now, the royal love, therefore, is non-existent. Now, if you really think about this section right here, this is really, really convicting. Really convicting. It's like, well, let's evaluate the situation. Let's talk it out. Let's do that, which is always good. But what you see in that interaction with, again, we're going to keep this within the church. Within the church, in that interaction, when you see that the peace leave, God's love's not present. It's really easy to figure out how to handle something and what you should do. So he's making it real clear. The problem is he's making it too clear. He's like, oh. So to show the devastating impact, of these godless attitudes within the church, James continues with an appropriate hyperbole. Okay? He's going to tell you how bad this really is. Okay? We can think, well, you know, there's fussing and a fighting. Well, you know, it's not that bad. Well, you know, the only thing that's gone is God's peace. That's not good. Well, then God's peace gone. Well, then God's love is not being shown. And so, you know, God is really tweaking us if we don't catch it right quick and deal appropriately with some subject, it's like it can get totally out of hand, which it often has. So James continues like, see, this is what really going on when you're having these fights and quarrels. James chapter 4, verse 2. You desire and do not have, so you murder. Whoa! That's what it says. I mean, I don't care what translation you're looking at. That's what it says. Now, it's a hyperbole for hatred, because Jesus talks about if you hate your neighbor, it's like murder. I mean, Jesus already said that, you know, so we know that. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet, you cannot obtain. You covet. You're not helping me out. You're not believing what I believe. You covet. Or you covet what somebody has. You know, so you desire and do not have. So you murder. You covet. Cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. And then you could just leave it there. Okay, we just not need to fight and quarrel. But then the Lord says, I tell you what the problem is. Everybody will know the answer to the problem. He's going to tell us right now. The answer is just clear. James 4:2. You do not have because you do not ask. Hey, it's me and you. I'm working through you to do what I need through you. Why aren't you just bringing this before me and hearing what I have to say? Why aren't you doing that? The fights and quarrels are proof we're not doing that. Do you see what's happening? Yeah, after a while, you kind of see this. There's no peace. Okay, first thing. No peace. So you know what's happening. What's happening? You haven't asked God. Two people fussing and fighting means both of them haven't asked God. Both of them. See? So it clarifies. He said, and remember, he says, I want to answer your prayers, but I can't. I can't answer them because you're not asking me. You're not putting it before me. I'm not the forefront. I'm not the forefront in this situation. You do not have because you do not ask. Now, this fits, you know, I mean, this fits with exactly what Jesus said in John 14:14. Ask me whatever you will, I'll give it to you. And he's saying here, you don't have because you don't ask. Why didn't you just ask me for it? I've given you what you needed and I directed it. So they're saying the same thing, except James is giving us the caveats of why this isn't clicking the way it's supposed to click. So instead of coveting and fighting over our desires, we should ask God. God, what's going on? How can we work through this? What are you doing, Lord Jesus? See, and God is our provider and our sustainer. Amen? That's right. We know he's our provider and sustainer. He's reinforcing this. This goes back to what Jesus said. Ask me anything. I'll give it. I got this mess. Ask me and I give it to you. You know, in this group of people, I'll give it to you. I will do it. But also true, when we fight and quarrel, our eyes are not on God, but on our sinful desires. Now, do you see how he's pulling all this together? If you're like me, you're like terribly convicted. But also, when you look at it, you also see God says, man, I want to give you the world. You know, I need you to get in tune with me. All I'm trying to do is get you in tune with me. And this fussing and the fighting, and we don't fuss and fight, but is there peace? Well, no, there's not peace. But if there's no peace, then the royal love of God is not present. How can I answer what you ask? You know, because you haven't asked me, you haven't brought it to me. Well, how you know? There's no peace. Well, but you don't understand, God. This person really irritates me. It's their fault. I say nothing to them. And I mean, they don't even speak to me when they walk in. God goes, you're the problem. You're the problem. And if you could be at peace with that, you pray to me, and I'll come in and work in that. But you have to be at peace with me and them. God, I'll be at peace with you, but I won't be with them. I will be at peace with you, and you take care of them. Again, I want you to make me happy. make me happy. Now, so what's true, God is our provider and he's our sustainer. Amen? Okay. Also true, when we fight and quarrel, it shows that our eyes are not on God, but on our sinful desires. I mean, right? He said, I'm telling you, when you fight and quarrel, it's just showing it's on yourself and your sinful desire. And because of that, I can't answer your prayer. He can, he won't. He chooses not to. You know, people say, well, you can't. God doesn't choose not to ask to answer prayer. Yes, he does. The scripture is full of God chooses not. There was, I think it was with Israel. Some of you will recall this. And so God is talking to one of the prophets. He said, listen. I think he's talking to Jeremiah. He said, listen, stop. Just stop. If Samuel, who did he put there? He said, if Samuel and Moses and somebody else were here, I wouldn't listen. Now, that's really being upset at somebody. You know, God says, no, I'm not. I'm done. So God has the will make decisions on prayer. He makes decisions on your prayer. And so the only thing he's doing here, he said, I'm trying to help you to kind of get in tune so that you know that I'm making decisions on your prayer. And I just want you in tune because I want to answer your prayer. I want to answer your prayer. That's what he's wanting. He said, I want to answer your prayer. So, and that's the reason he said, you're fighting in court. You cannot obtain what? Because you don't ask God. You're fighting in quarrel, and you're not asking God. It's totally out of whack here. Now, so he's making this, clarifying this. So here's the truth. Our attitude and behavior have a direct correlation to our prayers being answered. That's it. You can't do anything about them. It's a but you. You got to have your heart right. You have to have a right attitude for me to move and do what I want to do. Work with you. We had, this reminds me of a little story. We have a, I think it's kind of cute. When it happened, nobody thought it was cute but me, but it is cute. Our first granddaughter was born, and she came into this world to rule it. From birth, she was here to rule the world. And it was just from day one. I mean, I don't know how she could be so little and so domineering. I mean, it's just amazing. And she's cute. Oh, my gosh, she's cute. Still is cute. And she's little. She's always little. And when she's about 3 or 4 years old, she's little. She wasn't this tall. And she just demanded stuff. And so her mother's trying to teach her, say, please. Now, just say, please. Like, she come and say, give me a drink. She said, no, say, please. Like, boy, just, you know, I mean, just went, I won't go out. No, you can't say. I mean, it's constant. So she walked in the kitchen one day. I'm there. And so she walks up to me. She says, give me a drink of water. Just like that. I said, well, okay, I'll join the program here, you know. And so I get on my knees. I get down with her. I said, honey, I says, now, you say please. She goes, not thirsty. Oh, I thought that was hilarious. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I laughed until I cried. And then her daughter came in. She said, that's not funny. That's not funny. I said, oh, that's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. You know. Well, I mean, that's kind of like God said, well, say please. No, not thirsty, you know. Anyway, don't you think that's cute? Anyway, it was like that. So, what he's saying here, and look at James 4:3. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. Ask wrongly. You ought to try to explain that, like I said, to a 4-year-old. It's like, no, not thirsty. Okay. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it upon your hedonisms. Now, what God is pointing out here, and again, look, what we're talking about, our personal prayers, okay, our personal, he has taught, I mean, when you look at the wording that God uses, like he says, ask me anything. Well, what does anything mean? It means anything. And then he goes, I will do it. Well, what does I will do it mean? It means I will do it. Anything, I will do it. And it's like, well, God, there's a problem here with this. And I don't understand. He, yes, Wallace, the problem's with you. I kind of got this down. Okay, it's you. And it's what? Because you're asking this for your own hedonism of what benefits you. And that's your concern, totally, is what benefits you. And gosh, I can't answer that. I can't answer that. Now, fascinating when you look at it. Now, when you also look at the Gospels, they contain many promises about prayer. Just read through the Gospels. There's many promises about prayer. But each makes a central assumption. And you find this. Each one of them make a central assumption. And that is that our heart is in tune with God. They're making that assumption. Well, ask anything. Jesus says, ask anything, I'll do it. Making the assumption their heart is in tune with God, and they'll ask, and he will cooperate and do what he says. He's assuming he's in you're in tune. You're in tune. That's what he's doing. See, this is why, you know, it says in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. Hey, here's the prayer. This is the perfect prayer. Pray it. And then he just throws in there that we, in our prayer, we go, thy will be done. We're in tune with what you say. We're in tune. And we're listening. Thy will be done. See, prayer is not magic. You know, it's not something, just like a magician or something. It's magic, you know, to do what you want. It's not magic to do. It's to be in line with God and to do what God wants to say. And being in line with God, you're asking things that's consistent with God because you're in tune just naturally. And so you pray along those lines. He said, I'll do it. It's not magic, you know. You need to be in tune with me. We cannot manipulate God and impose our will on God. Now, I try to do this. I've had to do it a lot of times. God, you need to. And by the way, go ahead and try it. It just didn't work. But anyway, God, you need to. But, I mean, if you really looked at the situation, God, you would understand it, and then you need to. How many things are wrong with that? How many things are wrong with that? You know, and so we can't manipulate God. See, we pray from a trust relationship with Jesus, whose will is supreme. Oh, God, I wonder what you want. I wonder what's going on. And I see in this situation, what do you want in this situation? And lift this up for me, to you. I know you'll do anything I ask, and this is what I understand, but just give me any wisdom, you know. What are you doing? You're in tune with God. You have a relationship with God. You're walking with God, you know. And then you open your arms, you know, and then he will show you things. He will show you things. Now, and when I say that, I used to hate this. People said, well, God will show you. You ain't showing me nothing. You know, and it's like, I remember I was talking to a gentleman one time, says, God will speak to you. See, you read the scripture, God will speak to you. I said, I'm reading it, but he's not speaking. And he said, what's the problem? You think it's a problem with you or with God? Well, I think it's with me, but I don't understand what's happening. How does God speak? And I've shared this with you. He just flips to Luke 24:32, he says, read this. And the road to Emmaus, and the guy says, after Jesus departed, he says, didn't our hearts burn within us when he opened up the scriptures. He goes, that's what happens when he speaks. I thought, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You know, how many times my heart has burned within me when I read the scripture. And I thought, well, that's cool, man. You know, that's kind of, it's like, no, it's more than cool. It's like God is moving. You know, he speaks. He speaks through his word. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. But he will show you what to, and be in tune. And I, how this in tune works also. And we take all this stuff. Oh, I just had this bright idea. Oh, I just had this, you know, movement to be kind, and oh, you know, I just made this good decision, and so we just do that all the time. And maybe it was, but if you're a believer, Holy Spirit dwelling in you, that you, he's all the time at work. He's all the time at work through you, through your mind, through every single decision. It's, Lord, I guess this is what I do, best I understand, and I do this, and you go ahead and do it. And God said, and he'll unfold it. See, God was speaking to you the whole time. And I know this is happening. Okay, best I can, this is what I'm going to do. And so I'm going to make this decision. Man, I don't feel good about it. I just don't feel good about it. And you go ahead and do it, and it just crashes. Well, God, you never could get in tune your thoughts with what was supposed to happen, but you went ahead and did it. God said, no, I'll give you. You know what the Bible says? Colossians says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. You have peace about it. I'll teach you, have peace about it. Oh, do you know what that word rule means? The peace of God rule in your heart. You know what the literal word is? Arbitrate. The peace of God will arbitrate. Oh, do you know what a secondary word for peace? This is, I'm not blowing smoke here. This is what the word really means. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. It means arbitrate. Let the peace of God arbitrate in your heart, because I'm working in your heart and in the believer's heart. The other word is umpire. The peace of God will umpire in your heart. He'll call balls and strikes. He'll call balls and strikes. See? So, anyway, we have here that it's being in tune with God, having a right heart before God, and as we pray, say, God, I've done the best I can, this will understand, and then you move and know God's hand with you and will direct you and answer or turn you to the left and right. Amen? That's what it's saying. So he's telling us this in James. He's telling us this in James. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own hedonism. God, I don't care. This is just what I want, period. You know, this is, I want you on board with my plans. My plans. So what we have here, James points out that those who do not receive are those who are not in tune with God. Now, I don't say that to anybody. You know, you come to me for counseling, I'll give you counseling. You're just not in tune with God. You know, issue. You know, I don't say that to anybody. But the thing of it is James said it. I still won't say it to anybody. But I might ask them to read James. You know, because what James is saying right here is that you have to be in tune with me. To hear from me, you have to be in tune with me. And how are you in tune? You pray, you read the Bible, you give everything to him, you ask, you know, you weigh your options, you plan, you do all those other things. But bottom line, you come to a peace with something that you step into, you know, and you know you've given it to God. And that's what James is saying. That's what he's saying. You ask, you do not receive, because you ask wrongly. Spend it on your own passions. You're not worried about me, what I think, God says. No, I can't work with that. I will not work with that. I will not work with that. Now, the Bible clearly tells us that God loves to provide for us. You know, that's an actual verse. God loves to provide for us. He loves to answer our prayers. So he wants us to prosper. You know, you have some churches that base their whole doctrine on prosperity. You know, he wants us to prosper. I mean, there's other things going on besides prosperity. But, you know, he wants us to prosper. I think he wants us to have a nice house. I think he wants us to have a nice car. I think he wants us to have a nice clothes. He wants us to have a good job. He wants to bless us in every way. And he works and provides for us. He wants that. That's his desire. It says that God gives us all things to enjoy. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, he wants that. He is happy. He wants to provide for us. The point Jesus is making is that we not should be motivated by fleshly desires and ask simply to gratify ourselves all the time. That's all he's telling us. Your attitude can't be just to gratify yourself all the time. I want to provide for you. Present it to me, and he says, that's good. That's part for you enjoying everything. I will give you direction, but you got to give it to me. And you can't just be the number one in every situation is you and what you think. And he calls it hedonism. He calls it hedonism. Now, we know, where's this at? We know we are forgiven, eternally secure when we trust Christ is our Savior. You know, everybody believes here, there's no sense even repeating. We believe that when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're forgiven, washed clean, period. Nothing we do adds or takes away. It's like my little granddaughter. it's like that. Oh, gosh. Still my granddaughter. She got spanked. I didn't do it, her mother did. She just didn't see the humor I saw in it. But anyway, I felt bad for her. But the point of it is, still the granddaughter. Couldn't do anything good, couldn't do anything bad, still the granddaughter. See, that's us before God. We don't have to do anything. And anytime you put a requirement on it, you deny God. Amen? However, our behavior affects our prayers. Our behavior affects our prayers. It's God said, listen, you for answered prayer is connected to our behavior. It's directly connected to our behavior. See? Now this is truth. Just on these words, you know, some the truth. Bad behavior can hinder God from acting on our behalf on earth. Can hinder God. Now, God's got this laid out. You remember he told Samuel and Moses and whoever the other guys I can't remember, he said, don't pray for these folks anymore. Not doing it. He told James and John, you don't know what you're asking. Like, good grief. You don't know what you're asking, you know. And so, bad behavior can hinder God from acting on our behalf on earth. That's the truth. It's as true as our salvation. We're in. My granddaughter is in. She's the granddaughter. That's it. No matter what she does. That poor child has suffered through much trial and tribulation. You know, my daughter believes in corporal punishment. She whip a little girl's butt a lot. And she's turned out pretty well. So what I'm saying, but her behavior didn't affect her relationship with me. She's still in. She's still granddaughter. You see what I'm saying? Nothing could make her granddaughter. Nothing can. She's in. That's like our salvation. We're in. However, our prayers are impacted by our behavior. She didn't get her drink of water, and she got her butt beat and sent to bed. Okay? her attitude impacted her request. around. I mean, it's just so logical. It's logical what God is doing. And it's so, they say, okay, God, I want in tune with you and what you're doing, because, and I know, first of all, that my behavior impacts how God deals with me in answered prayer. Now, I would be honest to you, honest with you. I have, for some reason, and I don't know exactly why, I came to know the Lord outside the church, just reading the Bible, and I just came to Jesus, it is my Savior. And since that moment, before I went to church, I accepted Christ. I accept the fact I'm in. I was just in. It didn't make any difference what I did. I knew I was in. Now, God would teach me, and he'd do all sorts of things, But I go, I'm in. I just knew I was in, you know. And I even had this talk with God one time. I've shared it before. You know, I mean, I know I'm going to heaven. I mean, I might not have a real high spot. I might be cleaning the bathrooms. You know, I might be, but I'm in. And how bad could it be? I mean, really, if you're cleaning the bathroom, how could it be in heaven? How bad would that be? You know, one of the verses I like says, some of you are going to get in just as if by fire. Everything's going to be burned off. I just, you know what I say? I say, amen. I'm in. See, I'm in. So, hallelujah, we're in. And we just enjoy being in. Being in. However, I will be honest with you. This thing about prayer and your behavior impacts prayer. It really impacts my behavior. It really does. Because I really do believe this. And it's like, I'm good with going to heaven and just cleaning bathrooms. Are you? Oh, with my hyperboles. Okay. I'm good with that. But I really want God working while I'm here. You know, I really like to him, you know, take care of me while I'm here, you know. I'm okay with heaven, but I'm not so sure about here. So what I do, I want to behave better to God so he'll answer my prayer. You know, and that's okay to want to do that. I mean, that is okay. God, I want you to answer my prayer. So I want to do what you want to do because I want you to answer my prayer. And I don't want any clutter in my communication with God. I don't want any clutter. And so I'll confess sins. Like, oh my God, that is wrong. God, please forgive me for that sin. I know I'm going to heaven, but I ain't sure what's going on here. So God, forgive me and cover me with your blood and take that away and now protect me every step of the way here, because I really need you working here. I need help here, and I know I need help here, and so I want a clear line of communications so I can hear you, and so you'll work in a powerful way for me here. Doesn't sound real godly, but it works. It works, you know. And not only that, God says, I want you to do that. I want you to do that, because what you are doing is you're talking to me all the time, and I like that. That's good. You're talking to me all the time. And I like that. And I will work through you and I will answer your prayers if you will adjust your behavior. And so I really do. You, and I honestly, daily, several times a day, I adjust my behavior. So, okay, God, I want this clean. Clean. Okay. We, Linda and I, have shorter arguments. You know, because I won't be nice. I know I won't be clean. I don't want any tension because I won't be, you know, good before God. I won't hear what he says, you know. And if I get kind of really upset at her, it interferes what God does with me. It's like, golly, I got to be nice to her again. Lord, all right. I did say that a little harsh. Would you forgive me how harshly I said that? Yes. I said, okay, God, we're good. You see what I'm saying? I should be a little facetious. No, I'm being dead serious. It all happened just like that. But that's how it works. That's how your prayer life works, with that relationship, God, being in tune with God, so that you're constantly focused on hearing what he says, praying to him, And if there's no peace, then he's not at work. Because you're letting something, you're getting fighting a quarrel. That's how you know that, like, is there peace at home? Well, he can't work there either. You see what I'm saying? It's like, well, it's the royal luck, law of love. Well, that sure ain't working. See, it's like, oh my God, I got it. And please forgive me for being harsh. What? I want this open up with God. And she does act better. But I really want this opened up with God. Right? She goes, wait till we get home. She said, you won't see no peace. No. So, listen to these verses. Listen to. Now, this is true in both the Old Testament and New Testament. It is true. And again, there's salvation and there's answered prayer. You got two things going on here. Our behavior impacts whether God answers our prayer. Turn here. This is, there's just more places than you can turn to. I really like this one, though. It relates to this. Look at Isaiah 59:1-2. Isaiah 59:1-2. Now, again, just imagine, why won't you, when we read this, our relationship with God in this world, it's just crazy, okay? But it's our relationship with God. Here's the whole thing. And again, it's just me and myself with God. And it's just you with God. It's not you and somebody else. It's just you. It's just you by yourself. It says this, Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. He can do what he wants to. It's not, his hand didn't get short. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Oh, that must mean I'm going to hell. No, you're going, you may clean bathrooms, but you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. In. It just in. Because you trusted Christ. Or you're saved. You're in. However, your iniquities have made a separation between you and God. Here. They're praying to him. He says, my hand's not too short to say, it's your iniquities that I'm not doing it. My hand's not short. I'm just making a decision. I'm not doing it. Because there's a separation between you and God because of your iniquities. You made a choice against God. You don't consider him in your plans. And so your sins have hidden his face. I'm not. It's like this. He looks down. Your sins have hidden. He goes, I'm not even going to watch this train wreck. Now, y'all never forget that. God did this. He's looking down at you. He says, I can't even watch this train wreck. Oh, my. See, that's what it says. And they said, oh, God, get me out of this mess. Can't hear you. He can hear you, but he's not going to hear you. But you see the cause and effect here. But look here, his hand's not shortened. Ear's not dull. It's you. It's you that doing this. And there's a separation because of your behavior. I want to help you. Gosh. Granddaughter, give me a drink. No, I'm not doing it. All right. This highlights the importance of our ongoing relationship with God and other brothers and sisters in Christ. Gosh, not only I have to get along with Linda, I got to get along with all of you. Holy cow. You see what I'm saying? So when you look at this, you're saying, I mean, is making the point about hindrance of prayer. Hindrance of prayer. Now, here's something. This is a walk away. Are all married couples paying attention? Pay attention. Ladies, you're going to love this. You're absolutely going to love this. You're going to jump up on your seat and shout hallelujah when I say this. This also is true of the husband and wife relationship. We're talking about being in tune. Okay? And not in tune, God can't hear you. Why not? You ready? Have an overhead for this one. If you have iPhones, you take a picture of it. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You want me to know why God's not answering your prayer? Well, I know exactly why He's not answering your prayer. Amen? Well, I got that. No amens there at all. I mean, that like dead pain. There ain't no amens. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, so that, literally, there's a reason, your prayers may not be hindered. My prayer, I forgot about this one. My prayer, Linda and I were separated for a while, so you know, it's all her fault. But my prayer, that I swear, before the Lord, He knows my prayer, dear God, fix this woman. And I want to tell you something. It's that He never did. Never did. You're talking about not answering. Never did. Yeah. But what is the game? Huh? It's like, no, you're the issue. I mean, guys, I can't be wrong all the time. He goes, no, you want this to work? You want your prayers to work? You know, if you want your prayers to work, it says, live with your wives in an understanding way. Or, so that your prayers won't be hindered. You all want to meditate on that a while? Talk about this over lunch today. In order to hear God and see Him move mightily within the family, the husband and wife need to be in tune not only with God, but each other. Linda has a thing. She always does this 100% of the time. She does a lot of counseling, much more than I do. Nobody wants to talk to me. But they enjoy talking to her. They really, and people enjoy talking to her. So they bring their problems. Ladies bring their problems to her. One of the things, and they'll present this issue, and she'll ask this every time. Every time she'll say, this issue, what do you think about it? And she'll say, do you and your husband agree? She says, do your husband agree? And said, well, no. Then that's the main problem. We can't go anyplace. Can't move. Until you all agree on something. But it won't work until you agree. That means the two. So to be right with God, you have to be right with each other. If you can't agree, you're not right with God. That hurt. Didn't that just hurt? If you can't agree, that means you're not in tune with God. And you not agreeing is evidence of it. Oh, Lord. Lord, he be. So, I end this with Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Okay, so for 2026, here we are. For 2026, it's really simple. Be in tune with Jesus and receive His abundance. That's it. Be in tune with Jesus and receive His abundance. Lack of peace, you're not in tune. You're not in tune. I mean, the whole world can be going to hell in the handbasket and the things are right, but you can be at peace when you have it in God's hand. The peace is proof that God's in it. Lack of peace is proof that God's not in it. Lack of peace is evidence that the love of God, the real love of God, is not in it. And you go, wait a minute, I love Jesus and I follow Jesus. Yeah, that's great. But what God does, he takes it, he fine-tunes it. He fine-tunes it. Okay, now we're going to fine-tune this thing. We're going to make it work. Okay. See, I told this story. I can't help it. It reminds me of stories. And I said, husbands, you have your wife so God can fine-tune you to hear from him. Boy, that dead silence on that. Nobody jumped on that one. But that's why. Oh, ladies, you got your husband because I fine-tune you in how he works. And if you agree, I believe in God, and then if there's an agreement, the two together, there's a power of a godly decision. Hey, God said this, God said that, that's no peace. And God's not in that. Even though you both say you're dead right. When it comes like this, then together, all right, God's in this. You see? Oh, I mean, it's so unbelievably clear. And here's the story I'm going to tell you. I'm going to leave on the light note. Okay, because it's happy news. I counseled five guys that were in this. They had in college, Virginia Tech College, and they ran this Bible study. And all of them, and these guys, they ran this Bible study, and they're real evangelistic. And God moved in it in a mighty way, you know. And then so after Virginia Tech, then they all, five of them, got married. So they're having typical marital issues. And so I had a class with all five of them walking through the things of marriage relationship, okay? These guys, you know, they're leading people to the Lord and just hallelujah all the time. And so now they're married. And they weren't quite as happy as they were in college. But anyway, you know, so yeah, I got the five couples. And going through this stuff. The one guy, now I want to pay attention to this. They're serving Jesus as singles, the guys specifically. Hallelujah. I mean, they're burning it up for Jesus. Any church would like to have them in here. Now they're getting up and just not quite hitting on all cylinders. And so after about the third week, the one guy said, you know, I just don't know. I had this such a great relationship with God until I got married. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. You answer that. Did he? Did he? Did he marry the wrong woman? Did he? No, he married the woman that God wanted to use to bring him and grow him to be the man he should be, not the one he thought he was. He says, you ain't even close, brother. I'm going to give you this woman, okay, and I'll get you there. I'll get you there. See, I was had this great walk with the Lord until I got married. Y'all with me? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying here? My prayers are hindered. My prayers are hindered. You know. You agree with your wife? Are you kidding me? Prayers are hindered. But y'all with me? Now, come back here. Come back what here was. God, there you say. The standard is, here's the standard. The Christian standard, you ask anything and I will do it. That is the standard, all through the Bible. Boom. And he says, but you need to be tuned with God with the right attitude to your brothers and sisters. And if you're not in tune with your brothers and sisters. You're not in tune with God. But they, no, it's not but they, it's but you. It's but you. See? Y'all with me? I just put the church. Hey, y'all love me to death, and I'm happy. Oh, I rejoice. God bless you, all these people. But if all of you just, I just dislike Wallace, you know? And I said, okay, God, you called me here, and I'm just going to preach the word, and I'm at peace with you. All right. I have to be at peace no matter what you think. You're with me? See? I have to be at peace. No, again, I'm fortunate. I love you. Oh, my God. Linda and I thank God for y'all every day. But the point I'm driving home, if I'm out of peace because of other people and God can't hear me, but when I'm at peace with other people, he can hear me. You see how that works? Amen. Hallelujah. But here, the standard, leave with the standard. Ask anything in my name, and I will do it. I will do it. And remember, we'll close with this. Leave with this for 2026. Look at the overhead. James 4:2. You do not have because you do not ask. That's scripture. That's scripture. Your life, you do not have because you do not ask. Dear God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you say. You thank you for that you teach us. Lord, the belief about how you work in this world is so much deeper than what we understand. It's so much involved than what we understand. That you're moving in the Spirit. That you love us. You love us and you work with us and you want to strengthen us and you want to provide for us. And your goal is for us to grow every single day in you. And we have to grow with one another. You put people around us and we are to grow with those people every single day. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you want to move powerfully through your church, through your family, through the individuals. Your arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Your ear is not dull that it cannot hear. We thank you, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.